Isn't that an encouraging story? Amen. Yeah, it is. I want to thank Gloria for that. She's a great example to us, and I'm thankful for those of you in here who are grandparents who are doing the same. And we want to just kind of encourage you today. If you're already at work in that or have been in the process of doing that, I want to encourage you to keep up the good work. And for those of you that are considering how to do that, hopefully we can be a resource for you today to get started with your responsibility there of being a part of the discipleship process, even there with your grandkids. I'd love for you to open to Psalm 78. Psalm 78, that's where we're going to look at the text this morning. This text, we're going to do first 8 verses of Psalm 78. It's the preface of one of the more longer psalms. And the reason it's one of the more longer psalms is because it recounts the exodus from Egypt of God's people, and then the leading of the wanderings in the wilderness. And so he takes a lot of time in this psalm, kind of, you know, recollecting all of that and asking the people to remember these things. But he sets the stage for it kind of in a summary tone, and we have a lot to learn even in the first 8 verses. So you can get a good idea of where we're going for the rest of chapter 78 if you'll just look at these first 8 verses closely with me this morning. Verse 1, O my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories that we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born. And they in turn will teach their own children, so each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we bow before you, your presence, and your word, and we ask that you would open our ears, that we might hear its message, that you would speak to us, that you would reveal yourself to us, that you would give us instructions, Lord, for how we are to live our lives, and that you would encourage us as well as equip us to do so. We pray that we would receive this, that we might live for your glory and represent you well in this world. And as Joe said, Lord, even in our own homes, begin there for Jesus' sake. Amen. As you leave today, I would love you to pick up one of 2 of these resources, whichever one kind of grabs your attention. Both of them are helpful in their own right. You can pick up one on your way out, particularly if you're a grandparent. We want you to have these. These are tools for you to be able to not just be equipped with having conversations with your grandkids, but some real practical ways of doing so. I love the charge this one particular resource gives. The legacy resource says that those blessed with the gift of grandchildren are called to inspire and nurture the faith of the next generation as life's greatest privilege and priority. Grandparents can concentrate on more of the emotional and spiritual needs of the children because they usually do not carry the burden of the day-to-day priorities such as baths, meals, laundry, and etc. Those duties most often fall to the parents, giving grandparents a unique and exalted position when it comes to influencing the next generation. Other than moms and dads, no one carries more stature and inherent authority in the lives of children than grandma and grandpa. Having influence is not the same thing as using your influence. Every time you invest in your grandchild before the age of 12, you make a deposit into the influence bank of their lives. The goal is to have enough in that bank to influence your grandchild through the teenage years and beyond. Commit to making significant deposits in the lives of your grandkids while they're young. Again, just want to encourage you to pick up some of these resources here, whichever, you know, kind of strikes your fancy. Both of them are equally helpful in their own right. And if you're a grandparent, grab one of those on the way out. I can remember, and I wrote about this for the blog this week, but I wanted to share it with you. If you didn't read my blog, it's for the church. But I thought, well, it's fitting to what we're talking about, because oftentimes my thoughts are steered that way during the week. And I thought about one of the things I grew up with that I really just marveled at a lot, laughed about a lot, was the look on my dad's face oftentimes when his grandfather, interacted with me. And particularly, my dad would have this just mystified look on his face, pleasantly so. He would chuckle about it. But he would watch my grandfather, you know, as he interacted with me, usually regarding some level of patience or enthusiasm or intentionality or, you know, some level of instruction that he was giving me when I was a child. My dad would kind of, you know, just chuckle about it. And I remember asking Dad, I said, Dad, why do you find this amusing? Wasn't this the same way Papaw interacted with you? And Dad said, well, you know, often enough, but you need to remember, I got Granddad on the front end, you getting Granddad on the back end. And there's a great, I didn't really know what he meant by that, right? As a young man, I'm like, what do you mean by that? Well, now that I'm getting older, I know exactly what he means by that. You know, my grandfather, you know, mellowed to some degree. He became more patient, perhaps. I don't know. There was a level of interaction with grandkids. Maybe the daily grind of baths and providing for four sons the way he did and the pressure of all, I don't know. Maybe that kind of took him out of the emotional connection sometimes with his sons. I don't know. All I know is that by the time I arrived, oh, man. You know, I learned how to collect pocket knives, and I learned how to, you know, go fishing and hunting with my granddads. I learned how to plant a garden. I learned very, very practical things experientially with my granddads as they walked with me. And there was no time that we ever spent around a practical engagement with my granddads and my grandmothers. There was no time that we ever did that, that there wasn't normally a spiritual lesson, some reminder of God's activity in his life or in the life of our family that it would give him an opportunity to talk with me about. And because, again, there was this deliberation and the retirement years or whatever had come, it was not rushed, it was not hurried. And I felt very open and unrushed as he was not annoyed by my questions. And I think we all long, don't we, for those kind of relationships, not with just our kids, but those of you that have the privilege of being grandparents, to have this kind of relationship with your grandkids. And so we want to encourage you today with this psalm. And it's helpful for me, and hopefully it will be for you, to break this psalm, Psalm 78, into some quadrant or some, yeah, little quadrants here, Psalm 78. And so the first lines out in verses 1 through 3. And we'll call that the exclamation. The exclamation. And then you get verse 4, 78 verse 4, and we'll call that the declaration. The declaration. Or we could even call it the summation. Because it really is, verse 4 is kind of the meat in the middle of the sandwich. This is the point, really. Verse 4 is the point of everything that's going to come in the rest of it. If you've looked at that psalm, you can see it's several verses long, all right? So you've got the declaration after the exclamation. And then in verses 5, 6, and 7, am I right? I'll look at my notes. I've done this enough, you would think I know where I am. It's 5 and 6. All right. So in 5 and 6, we go from exclamation to declaration to explanation. All right. And we'll talk about that in just a second. And I've not left myself a lot of room at the front there. But in verse 7 through 8, you're going to see that he gives us, I'm running out of chalk, the destination. And if you're sitting there going, wow, he's got an E and a D and an E and a D, that's why they pay me the big bucks. No, just kidding. But seriously, this preaches that way. It lays out that way. And oftentimes when I'm studying and preparing messages, this helps me, and hopefully it will help you. The first thing you'll see, that what he says in this text, is that that God's stories, the God stories that we tell our grandchildren, they do not age and they do not improve. They do not age and they do not improve. What do we mean by that? Well, they're timeless. That the wisdom of God that was good enough for granddad is the wisdom of God that is good enough for the grandkids. The wisdom of God that is good enough for the grandkids will be the wisdom of God, relevant, always relevant, to the generations that come after that. God's stories don't age and don't improve. And so you get this exclamation. He says, "Oh, my people, listen." All right? So put your granddad ears on, all right? You ever hear your granddad say that? Listen to Pappy here. Listen to Papaw here. All right? Listen. And then he restates it again as an exclamation point. Open your ears. Boy, that sounds just like my granddad. Open your ears. All right? To what I'm about to say. All right? So as he exclaims this, he's going to rephrase the same thing. He's going to tell you what he's going to tell you, and then he's going to reframe it and say the same thing. Again, very much like a granddad. "Oh, my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. I will speak, I will teach." And then he says, "I'm going to teach you a parable, lessons from stories." I mean, which is a fancy way of what a parable is. And if you get in the New Testament, Jesus teaches in parables. He teaches by these stories. The particular emphasis on this story, as he exclaims this in a call to come and hear, are the stories and lessons that come from the actual historical narrative of the people. These aren't something made up as an illustration. No, these are life events from the past that taught lessons. Open your ears, the grandfather yells. The grandmama cries, "Open your ears and listen to what I will tell you." One of the things that I love about this point, that God's stories don't age or improve, is that it gives a lesson to grandparents to not look to the past as if to point our children and our grandchildren back to some golden age that they've just missed out on, but to look to the past as a reminder of God's faithfulness to the ups and downs of life that point them to a hope in the future. Too many grandparents wring their hands as they watch the news and their grandchildren hear them talk about how awful things are in this world and how they are so sorry for the years that will come for them when they have children. "Well, thanks a lot, Grandmom. I'm really looking forward to getting married someday," right? And grandparents don't wring their hands and long for the past in such a way that makes a grandchild think that they've missed out on the experience of knowing God. You with me? I mean, we all have a propensity to do that. I told my wife just this week, "Wow, the older I get, the harder it is for me to find." If I go on a walk around the neighborhood, I find myself singing songs from the 70s and trying to remember experiences with my buddy. It's like I'll catch myself just living back in the past, remembering things from the past. And while that may be, you know, fun and nostalgic and in and of itself, nothing wrong with it. It does nothing to frame at times the future for my children in reality. So what that means for me as a grandfather is that as I look to the past, what it reminds me of as a dad and a grandparent, what it reminds me of is it to be honest with my children, to tell them the truth as we're going to see. And to remind my kids that, you know what, life is about ups and downs. It's about rising and falling. It's about successes, wins, and losses. I can't lock myself in the experience of saying, you know what, if just the right government's in power and the right business is in power and you have the right boss in power and all these things line out, you know, then things can be hopeful for you. No, things are hopeful for you because there is God. God's stories don't age or improve. They are the wisdom of the ages that are wisdom for today. And there's a second thing that you see in this text. It comes in verse 4 in the summation or in the declaration part, and that is, godly grandparents are reliable witnesses to the character of God. You see, as you point them to the past, what you're doing is you're looking to the past, not painting a better world in the past or painting a worse world in the past, but painting the God who was there through it all, right? And godly grandparents are reliable witnesses to the character of God because they stand apart from mom and dad. It doesn't take a 12, even or a 13-year-old kid to know, okay, with life experience comes an outlook on life that's compelling for me. Or potentially so, from godly grandparents. Why is it important? Why is it important that godly grandparents are reliable witnesses to the character of God? Well, let's see if we can figure this out. The text says, we will not hide these truths from our children. We won't hide truth. We won't hide it. No hiding truth. But we will tell. What does it say? We won't hide the truth from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about His power and His mighty wonders. We will tell about God, what He has done through His deeds, power, and wonders. Now, those of you that read your Bible ought to know, oh yeah, that harkens back to an amazing Old Testament expression there. The wonders that God brought about in the exodus of the Hebrew slaves from Israel, from Egypt, coming out into the land, wandering in the desert under the leadership of Moses, and how God provided for them and how the people often responded. And so the admonition here is to not hide the truth. To look back on life and to see it for as it really is. To say that sometimes we were taught through the provision of God when life was really good, and sometimes we had to learn the lessons that were hard when we were rebellious and stubborn and stiff-necked people. I know as grandparents, sometimes it's a vulnerable thing to want to talk about the mistakes that you made. Oftentimes, granddad is 9 feet tall and bulletproof and never did anything wrong, you know. I am largely the product of Lonnie and Dorothy Lutz and Helen and Pete Beaver, but not just them. I mean, I had my great-grandmother, Flora Lee Clayton. I had my great-grandfather, Big Pete Beaver, right? I mean, before I ever met him, it was like, you know, Big Pete's coming to town. He's coming down from West Virginia. He's coming for Christmas. I was probably 7 or 8 years old. And here walks this guy in. I mean, he's 90 years old. He walks through the front door of my house, and I'm standing there looking at him. This guy is a coal miner from West Virginia. He has black lung. He smokes non-filtered Pall Mall cigarettes. This guy is Superman, right? And if you leave that imagery there, what it tells a kid is, how are you going to ever measure up to that? But as granddad begins to share the life experience with the grandson, and as the grandmom begins to, you know, the life experience with the granddaughter, what she begins to do is not going through every sordid detail and every horrible mistake in detail, but painting a picture for that kid that grandmom wasn't always, you know, an angel. That granddad didn't always get everything right. And as you invite that kid on that journey through the vulnerability of your life, what you begin to show that kid is that God has been faithful in His relationship with you through the ups and downs of life experience. And you have this unique in the story because you're granddad, because you tell stories, because the story of the family, the story of your life, the legacy that they pick up as a kid is compelling. And you have an opportunity to encourage them that they can do this. And they can do this because God is faithful. And as they walk closely with a faithful God through the ups and downs, through the mistakes that they make, as well as the victories that they share, as they walk with God through the ebbs and flows of life, You grow to the place where you are a reliable witness to the character of God. And so you begin to talk about the things that God has done in the midst of your family from years past. You speak to the glorious deeds, the things that he's done for you, the things that he's withheld from you. I loved it when my grandfather told me, you know, the times that he prayed fervently for things and would be so mad with God because God wouldn't give those to him, only to 10 years later wake up and go, oh, thank God he didn't give them to me. To stand as a sage, you know, as the wise man or wise woman of the family and be able to say, sometimes God says yes, sometimes says God says no, and sometimes God says wait. And you may still be waiting, but every one of those is an answer to prayer. Man, your example in that witness to your grandkids is irreplaceable. It'll lead your kids to begin to believe that God is there and trustworthy even when the answer is no. I can't tell you how many people, well, God didn't answer my prayer. And what they're saying is that God said no. Right. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, in Paul's last very personal letter that we have in our Bibles to a young man that he has discipled for the Lord, Paul introduces the letter this way. He says, Timothy, I remember your genuine faith, for you share faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that same faith continues strong in you, Timothy. We live in a world where our kids need to know that hope and faith aren't just some mystical dream that's out there for a better future. The faith that we're talking about that our kids need to have and the hope that we're talking about that our kids need to have isn't this some ethereal experience, but is an objective. It's the person of God. Young people, don't ever let anybody tell you that to believe in Jesus Christ is irrational. There's nothing more rational on the face of the earth. We're talking about a Savior who was pointed to for hundreds of years in the Old Testament, who finally arrives, born as he says he would be born, lived as it says he would live, offered his life and sacrifice as it said it would be offered, fulfilling every bit of that, dying fully on the cross for your sins, being buried in a tomb for 3 days, and raised from the dead on the third day to prove that what he came to do actually took place in his own resurrection. And that promise for you, young person, that promise for you is entirely rational. Entirely rational. It's not some pipe dream. It's not some hope for better government. It's not some hope for a better world. It's not some hope for a better life. It is a hope in the person of God. Grandparents, you stand with an incredible privilege to give testimony to that in your experience. Thirdly, yeah. Verses 5 and 6. We have the explanation. And usually explanations flow like this. This is again, I'll lay this out in a kind of a thing. Explanations start with a 4. So he's going to take everything that he's done in the declaration here of what they're going to do, and he speaks specifically to the person of God by his works. All right? This is who God is based on what he has done. All right? And so he explains this a little bit further. For, and then he gives us a so. So let's look at that and see what we can come up with in this explanation here. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel, which is the same thing. Again, granddads like to restate themselves. For he says, he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. Two different ways of saying the same thing. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, which, as a good grandfather, quotes the Old Testament. He's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. If you can take your notes, you can go back and read that for yourself. Deuteronomy 6, 7, he's quoting that. God commanded us to teach them to our children. Why? so the next generation might know them. Why, Granddad? So that you might know them. Even the children not yet born. So your kids that you're going to have one day, who will in turn teach their kids. So we're talking about your grandkids and your great-grandkids. People that you're not even, Granddad, Grandmom, people that you're not even going to live long enough to see. God has intention in the fulfillment of your responsibility. So the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, and they in turn will teach their own children. Is it me, or is that all about making disciples? Godly grandparents know the stories don't end with them. The story doesn't end with you. Isn't that encouraging? Talk about a legacy. Some of you sitting out there, you can't leave millions of dollars to your grandkids. You can't leave large amounts of property to your grandkids. You can't leave a business to your grandkids. You may not have much at all in terms of material things that you can leave to your grandkids. I'm telling you something. If you know God, you've got more than anything to give them. You got the most valuable thing in the world to pass down to them. And as the witness of your life to the faithfulness of the God who not only made you, but made them. The faithfulness of God in the midst of all the ebbs and flows of life, who compels us and our children to trust Him and obey Him. And you stand as a great, great witness to that, because you know that the story doesn't end with you. It goes on. Finally, grandparents know the risks and rewards of investing in the next generation. Grandparents know the risks as well as the rewards of investing in the next generation. We move in this prelude going into the psalm from a call, an exclamation, to come and listen, to declare what this statement's going to be about. We're not going to hide the truth from what God has done. We're going to tell of God and His great wonders, and we're going to explain. And in this explanation, interestingly enough, he says he's issued laws to Jacob. He's issued instructions to Israel. Interestingly, God has not just shown us who He is by His work. He's told us what to do. Why are instructions there? Laws and instructions. So that we'll know what to do. Trust and obey. See, you think that word leaves you when you become a parent, right? That, you know, I'm a kid, so I have to obey, but I'll be glad when I get to be a parent one day and I don't have to obey anymore. Kids think these crazy things, right? And they think these crazy things sometimes because we act like it's true as moms and dads and parents and grandchildren. And we never stop giving testimony to the fact that no matter how old we are, we still are under the authority of our Creator, who has given us His laws, given us His instructions, and told us what to do. As we move into this last text, what you get here is the destination. Or we could say this clause is the result clause. It's what's going to happen, one way or the other. There's a risk that they'll reject it. And there's a reward that they'll trust. And that's important for grandparents to understand. Because what your grandchildren do with this is not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to be faithful to tell them. Your responsibility is to be faithful to living it by example in front of them. Now get it. Part of the risk is that you're going to lay all of this out. You're going to be intentional with your grandkids. You're going to talk about, You're going to talk about your mistakes. You're going to talk about your failures. You're going to talk about the hard times. You're going to scare some. You're going to tell sometimes scary stuff to your grandkids. And you're going to love them well doing that. And they may take everything that you have to say about the midst of the ebbs and flows and the good and the bad and the sin and the righteousness of all of your experience in life, and they're going to look at that and they're still going to walk away from the God who's been faithful to you in all of it. You can't control that. Look at what the text says. You do this with the result positively that each generation should set its hope anew. Again, not ethereally, but in the person of God. Each generation should set its hope anew, not on a better life, not on a better country, but upon a consistent, faithful God. Not forgetting His glorious miracles, which take us back to verse 4, and His obeying His commands, which puts us here in the explanation in verse 5 and 6. All right? So he takes the fact that we don't forget what he has done with who he is and giving us instructions and commands. He ties all that into this nice little bow in verse 7. And then he says, they will not be like their ancestors. The reward is that if your children follow this, they won't be like their ancestors, but that they will remain faithful. They will keep the chain of faithfulness in the family alive. Or they will be like perhaps their ancestors who were stubborn and rebellious and unfaithful. And you can read about them in the wilderness wanderings there in Psalm 78. Stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. There's a positive reward and a negative risk involved. And what the psalmist is saying to us here in this conclusion is, again, that that doesn't excuse us from the responsibility as grandparents and parents. It just means we have to weigh the reality. Some of you kids, and I say that because you're teenagers in your 20s, and you're sitting here and you're going, I didn't have grandparents like this. I didn't have parents like this. Then guess what? You get to start it. You get to start this. You're living your life now on the front end of this, preparing to be the faithful witness who grows in godliness to be the testimony of character, the character of God to the coming generations of your own family. I know men and women like this. They're in our church. They've begun it, and now their children are walking in a way that their families in the past didn't. We tie this with this neat bow, you know, that concludes this preface to this psalm, this prelude to this psalm. We tie this in this neat bow in a great deal of honesty. Hopefully it's encouraging as well as instructional. At the top, I kind of missed this, but at the top of the psalm, you may have, some of you have translations that says a psalm of Asaph. Some of you may say a maskil, M-A-S-K-I-L. A maskil is a psalm that's instructional. It's for our instruction. There's nothing like a good song that teaches you something. Those are the kind of songs you need to be listening to. Teaches you good stuff. So this word is particularly, as we close, for the young people here. You've been sitting there waiting on this. You're like, I'm not a grandparent. I don't know why I'm here today. Yeah, I know why I'm here today. My grandparents are taking me to lunch. So if you're here today and you're a teenager, I love this. This is also in a grandfather's voice. You hear my granddad saying this. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9 through 10. Young people, it's wonderful to be young. Enjoy every minute of it. Do everything you want to do. Take it all in, but as you do, remember that you must give an account to God for everything you do. So refuse to worry. Don't wring your hands, even if your grandparents are. Keep your body healthy. Hit the gym. Get yoked, bro. But remember, I'm glad you laughed by that. I'm not totally out of touch. Refuse to worry. Keep your body healthy, but remember. And this is the advice. Ecclesiastes is hard to interpret sometimes because it's written from this weird perspective. But there's a refrain in Ecclesiastes that says, under the sun, living under the sun, as you're doing these things, you know, under the sun. And what that means is you're trying to make life work apart from God, under the sun. Remember that there's coming a day that you're going to give account to that God. And understand that as you're keeping your body healthy and you're refusing to worry and you're making your best life, remember that youth, with a whole life before you, apart from God under the sun, is meaningless. Amen. It's meaningless. I look out here amongst you and I take my place with you. I find myself in different circumstances, probably from some of the rest of you, and we hear these words and we're confronted with encouragement as well as challenge. I want to be a faithful man. I want to be a faithful father, and I pray that you want to be faithful as well. It's Grandparents' Day, and I am so thankful for mine. So as we leave here today, maybe you'll pick up the phone today and call yours. Maybe you'll begin a relationship with your own grandmother and grandfather. Invite them into the vulnerability. Take them as they are. And see what you can learn about them. See what you can learn about their story. And perhaps discover what you can about the faithfulness of God to those in your own bloodline. And then become a part of a local church where you can share that in a context. Because if blood is thicker than water, the Spirit is thicker than blood. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for your presence with us, Lord, and we are thankful to be a family of families here. Wherever we find ourselves in the context of a family, Lord, we know that to be a part of your family is to have one, to belong. Help us to find our place in it, Lord. Whether we are the continuation of a great legacy of faith in God in our own family, or whether we are starting it. Charge us, I pray, with your commands today, and encourage us, Lord, with the faithful men and women who've gone before us. In Jesus' name, amen. You sing my own song.